We'll greet you all in Christ's name. It's always a pleasure to join back together and have fellowship around God's Word. We don't know what He wants to speak, but we do know that He wants to speak. Speak truth and also to make it applicable to our current life. Let's open up together in the book of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 23. 2 Chronicles 23. Just in the times of the kings, and in the previous chapter, there's been a significant slaughter of the king's family, and Joash has been preserved and saved. So this talks about just the life of Joash, and it carries on into the next chapter. We'll just read chapter 23 probably. 2 Chronicles 23, and in the seventh year Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jeroham, and Ishmael the son of Jehohanan, Azariah the son of Obed, and Messiah the son of Adiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zikri, into covenant with him. And they went about in Judah, gathered the Levites out of the cities of Judah, and the chief priests of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king of the house of God. And he said unto them, Behold, the king's son shall reign, and the Lord hath said of the sons of David, This is the thing that ye shall do. Third part of you entering on the Sabbath, and the priests and of the Levites shall be porters of the door. And a third part of that shall be of the king's house, and a third part of the gate of the foundation, and all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. And let none come into the house of the Lord save the priests, and that they minister of the Levites. And they shall go in, for they are holy. But all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand. Whosoever shall else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death. But be ye with the king when he overcometh in, and when he goeth out. When he cometh in, when he goeth out. So the Levites and all Judah did accordingly to all the things Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were come in on the Sabbath, and them that were to go out on the Sabbath, and Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears, bucklers, and shields that had been King David's that were in the house of God. And he set all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and the temple, by the king round about. And they brought about the king's son and put upon him the crown, and gave him the testimony, and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar, and at the entering in, and the princes of the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, also the singers with the instruments of music, and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, Treason! Treason! Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host, and said unto them, Have her forth of the ranges, for whoso followeth her, let him be slain with the sword. For the priest said, Slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come into the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down and break his altars and his images in pieces and slew Matan and the priest of Baal before the altars. And Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer the burnt offerings of the Lord, as it's written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. And he set porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything should enter in. And he took the captains of the hundreds and of the nobles and the governors and the people of the land, and brought down the king from the house of the Lord. They came through the high gate into the king's house and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after that they had slain Athaliah with a sword. And then it goes into the reign of Joash. Let's come back to that after we sing and pray together. Let's sing in Zion's Harp number 203, Thou Hast Words of Life, number 203 in the Zion's Harp. Let's kneel together and pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that we can bow before the one who is the keeper of covenants, one who has entered into a commitment, a very broad, encompassing commitment to keep us, to restore, to send one who would deliver us. One who would keep the seed of David alive, always on the throne, all the way to our Savior, Jesus. We're just thankful, Lord, that we serve one who is fully in control, but not controlling. And we thank thee, Father, that thou, in that context, dost love us and demonstrated love in coming to our earth, our world, becoming like one of us, and showing us what it is to lay down our life for the good of other people. Praise thee, Lord. We're thankful that we serve a God who is sovereign, and that we need not carry anxious thoughts, that thou dost know our needs and thou dost provide. Teach us through Joash, Athaliah, and the stories and the accounts of real people, real life and death. And show us, Lord, what it means to live under a true king. Bless our afternoon service as we meditate on thy word. Encourage our hearts, Lord, with truth. We ask and we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I don't know if you follow that. I had to reread a little bit after I sat down, and there's a lot of history, but in the lineage of the kings, I think it was Jehu, the one that drove a chariot kind of furiously. He comes in and he cleans house and he kills people, and Athaliah, the mother of, she sees that all of her sons are killed, and so she continues to clean out the house of all the royal seed. And one of the nursemaids takes Joash, a young child, and sequesters him in with his nurse in a room and protects him. And Athaliah reigns for a while, and it's in the story that we read about today is where he's now 7-8 years old. And he's the only rightful heir of the throne, but they want to be careful that he's old enough, and that then, and they do it in such a way that they do it in the temple, and they orchestrate it, and they elevate him, and they declare, "God save the king." And they put this little boy king, and Athaliah has been watched, or she sees this, she calls treason, and then they say, all who's on our side, come here, and all that's going to be with Athaliah, you go over there, and there's instruction to kill anybody that goes with Athaliah. The point being that kingdoms and kings and power is very raw. It is how power is held, and people who are in the realm of power. I think it's a quote that we all know from yesteryear, that power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely. It's that idea. I bring that up just in the context of Wednesday night in Washington Church. We read about Solomon's first weeks in office, that his brother Adonijah thought he was going to be king. Everybody thought he was going to be king, and then they announce that Solomon's going to be king. And but David gives him this counsel. He says, "I want you to be careful." He goes much further than just saying, "Be careful." There's two specific men you need to be very cognizant about: Joab, the military commander, and Shimei, the man who cursed David when his son Absalom stole the throne for a brief period of time. And so what Solomon does, and David says, don't let their hoary head go down to the grave. I.e., don't let them die a natural cause. And Solomon, in the next course of that half chapter, takes out Joab, Shimei, and a third one, and Abiathar the priest, he exiles. But the idea is that those men were an existential threat to Solomon's kingdom. David had established his kingship. He had taken it away and he regained it, and it was established kingdom. Then the transfer of power happened to Solomon, and Solomon's kingdom had not been established. If you go back to U.S. history, it's the War of 1812 that established the United States as a country. We won, quote unquote, the Revolutionary War just because England said it's not worth it. But it was the War of 1812 that established the country militarily as a country. And so David, when it goes through all the things that Solomon did with Shimei and Joab, it says at the end of the chapter, and so Solomon's kingdom was established. It's pretty raw, but it's real, right? And then Wednesday night, it was such a contrast. We turn to the New Testament and we turn to Matthew 6. And it's the latter part of it where Jesus is saying, don't let anxious thoughts trouble you. Consider Solomon. Consider the lilies of the field. Take no thought for tomorrow. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. And what came to us that night is that Solomon had real existential threats to his kingship. Those men, any one of those men, could have taken him out and stepped right into being king. And no one would, and people would have followed them. But our king, Jesus, he has no existential threats. There's no one that threatens the existence of Jesus. He is sovereign. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There is no equal to him. And it is only because we serve a king that has no existential threats that we as his subjects can live worry-free. And so as we read about these kings and we read about these battles of how people wanted the power of the king and they murdered ruthlessly, understand that that is not the kingdom that we live in. Let me say it differently. That is not the kingdom that is offered to us. Right? We can live in that kingdom. We can live in the world of power struggles and knocking out people and not necessarily killing them physically, but you see it happen all the time in politics. That is what politics is, right? It's polity. It's power. It's authority. Who rules? I just encourage us as we deal with anxious thoughts and as we watch people struggle for power, understand, A, we serve a king that has no threats, and two, that God is faithful to keep his covenant. This preservation of Joash is all in God's covenant to keep someone from the lineage of David on the throne in the tribe of Judah. So let's consider that. Let's open up the New Testament in the book of Acts. We'll read chapter 5, and again, it's another story about establishing the kingdom, establishing authority. Every time I read this story in Acts chapter 5 about Annas and Sapphira, I always think about school teachers. My wife was a school teacher, and her psychologist said, Marcia, you need to go home and practice your mean look, right? You're too nice, Right? There comes a time as a school teacher or someone who's in a position of authority where you have to establish your authority. Only then can you have relationship. Authority first, relationship second. And so our relationship with Jesus is, he is our authority first, our friend second. Right? VBS this coming week is going to be, what a friend we have in Jesus. Right? Let's not forget that before he can be our friend, he is first our Savior and our Lord. We come under his need for salvation. We come under his lordship of he can tell us what to do. Then comes friendship. Okay? So let's read in Acts chapter 5 about Ananias and Sapphira. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came upon all them that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out, and buried him. It was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in, and Peter answered unto her, tell me, whether you sold the land for so much? And she said, yea, for so much. And then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them that have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her forth, and buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. By the hands of the apostles were these many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on the beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them, some of them. There came in also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one. Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which is of the sect of the Sadducees, and were filled with indignation, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison. But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said, go, stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keeper standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. And when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this should grow. And came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom ye have put in the prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that ye should not teach in his name? And behold, Ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, We ought to obey God rather than men. And the God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his holy witnesses of those things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart, and took counsel to slay them. And stood there up one of the in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, Ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that ye intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Thaddeus, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who were slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up Judas of Galilee in the days of taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. And to him they agreed, and when they called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. It's chapter 5, book of Acts, God's word. I don't know about you, but as we read through and we just evaluate Ananias and Sapphira, the severity of the judgment is profound, right? That you do something, someone exposes what you've done, and you just die. And then you bring in your wife, who is in collusion with this, and you ask her the same questions. Was this the amount that it was sold for? And she dies. The commentary in verse 11 is that, and great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Not sure how more to illustrate it. This is a... It happens with my wife as a school teacher years ago. It happened with the children of Israel when they first came into the promised land. Remember one of the first things they did once they crossed the River Jordan? There was the city called Jericho. Right? They walked around it 6 days in a row. And on the seventh day, they walked around it 7 times. They shouted, and their instructions were, kill everyone, take nothing. Right? Very simple instructions. They yell, and the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, and they go in, and they do what they're supposed to do, with the exception of a man named Achan. Right? And Achan sees the gold, the silver, some clothing, the wealth. And so Achan says, nobody looking. And he takes it. And he takes it into his tent. What's the next thing that happens? The next thing that happens is not the judgment of Achan. There's one intermediate step before the judgment of Achan takes place, right? They go up to this little town of Ai. And it's so small, they say, you know, we're just going to send a fraction of the men up there to go take this little town. This is nothing compared to Jericho. Jericho is a walled city. This is the little town of Ai. And so they send a small delegation up there, and they get there. They get kicked pretty well. People die. And all of a sudden, there is an enormous fear. Because they have crossed the river. There's no going back. They have kicked the bear in the shins. And they've awakened the bear. And they're powerful, so they're feeling pretty comfortable. And all of a sudden, they go up to and they battle Ai. And they get whooped. Now they've got all the surrounding territory and all the kingdoms. They've created an existential threat to those kingdoms, right? The defeat of Jericho is not a small thing. When you do that, you have a crosshairs on your back that now people are going to come after you. And all of a sudden, God doesn't come through. So they cry out. And God goes through this amazing process of, all right, divide into the tribes. He picks this tribe, divide into the larger families, now the smaller families, and they just whittle their way down to the family of Achan. And they say, Achan, give glory to God. Confess what you've done. And then the people watch what happens to Achan and his family. Okay. Before there can be power, there has to be authority. There has to be a reverence of who God is before we can be powerful in His name. And so it's the same thing that happens with Ananias and Sapphira. I don't know if it's so much the severity or if it's just God saying, what is truth and how you speak truthfully is really important. That's what happened with King Saul earlier this morning, right? He turned to the witch of Endor and he sought truth and he referenced input from someone other than the God of truth. And so Ananias and Sapphira, it's no big deal. We don't even want your money. You could have sold it and just given half and... But what was at the stake is that they were not being truthful. Truth was being compromised. And so the action is severe, and as a result of it, the church fears God. That's a healthy thing. It is a good thing when we have a healthy fear of God. Because what follows is power. Right? First there's purging, then there's power. And first of all, it's healing power. By the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all in one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest durst no man join themselves, but the people magnified them. And the believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women. So it's populations. People are coming to the Lord. It's power. Insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on their beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow them. And there came into also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and with them which were vexed with unclean spirits. And they were healed every one. So it's just physical healing. Converts coming by hundreds. The church is growing. And then persecution. But in the context of persecution comes power. Right? They're preaching. They get put in jail. And the Lord lets them out. The angel comes and opens the door. They come the next day to find them. And what do they find? Everything's in place. The guards are all in place. Everything's fine. They're in there. Come and get them. They go into the cell. They're gone. So now the leaders are, they're not quite sure what to make of it, right? Did you ever notice that when Jesus was hanging on the cross, that all of the mocking takes place prior to it becoming dark? The minute it gets dark at noon, it's like the people who are in the positions of authority and positions of mocking, they understand that there is something much bigger than themselves right here. I think you're seeing that same sort of thing by these men in positions of authority, men of a political power. They sense when they go to get him out of jail and to have their hearing and they're not in that jail cell, they know that something bigger happening. Verse 22, but when the officers came and found them not in prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priests heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. There is something powerful going on here. Where is this going to go? And what is it going to lead to? It's the same thing that took Jesus, the life of Jesus. They viewed him as an existential threat to their existence as a country. Then came one and told them, saying, I know where they are. They're not in prison. They're over in the town center preaching. Up in the temple, preaching and teaching the people. So this time they go get him and they're a little more careful. They don't take him by force. It's more, would you come with us? Right? And the people don't resist it. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, why are you not listening to us? Why are you not obeying us? Don't you remember we told you, right? Fingers in their chest. We told you, don't you remember? And Peter, he responds in something that's, I don't know how often we are called to be in civil disobedience. But this is a time for civil disobedience. Whenever the civil government calls us to do something that is contrary to what God specifically told us to do, that's a time for civil disobedience. Not before. Then Peter said, and the other apostles answered, said, we ought to obey God rather than men. God of our fathers raised up Jesus. You know, they don't just stop there, right? They don't just say, God told us what to do and we're going to do it. We don't, sorry, all due respect, but we have to obey him over you. But they don't stop there. They really get to the heart of the gospel, and they inflict these men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus. And then the indictment comes, whom ye slew on a tree, slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. And so there's power. The men have power to heal. The men have power to be released from prison. They have power to preach. They have power to testify. And they also have the courage and the powerful courage to indict those that they're speaking to in positions of power. There's a courage that has to not... Two things. You have to not care about the political power that's under you, and you have to believe that the power that you serve is higher than the power they hold. Right? That is at the essence of living a salty life in our society. There needs to be a healthy fear of God, and there needs to be a non-existent fear of what human power can do to you. And that's what these men have. And so they're empowered to be influential and salty. So they respond, verse 33, and when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. You don't just make those statements without eliciting a response. And they get a response, and it is, we're going to take you out. We're going to slay you. We're going to eliminate you. In this case, wisdom prevails. And a man named Gamaliel stands up and says, guys, before you're too hasty about this, look around what's going on. Look around what has gone around in the past. When earthly powers, when men rise up, that following is only as good as the leader. And when the leader is gone, the following dissipates. Just be careful as you act in justice or act in injustice or you wield your power. Don't get in a situation where you are fighting against God. But now I say unto you, verse 38, refrain from these men and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest happily ye be found even to fight against God. They take the counsel. They say it's wise. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they, the apostles, departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. So let's just wrap it up and enjoy the Sunday afternoon together. But who do we fear? Do we serve a king that has no threat? Is it true that as we serve him, that we are under his protection? And what does it take us to get to the point where we trust him? Is that God takes us through purging and cleansing times, and he calls us to purge out the unclean things from our closets, to walk in the light. Not like Ananias and Sapphira that walked in darkness and withheld the truth, but to be open-hearted with what is true, confessing what is true, to living in healthy reverence and respect to our King, to believe that our King has no peer, no equal, and that while we're serving him, we live under his protection and his provision. Those are just true things to always think about as whatever situation we're going through in life. Because God will inevitably, between the world as it is, our children, circumstances, our jobs, we will be bruised by life. But there's not one of us that doesn't want to be salty, a salty influence in this world. And how we respond to being bruised will reflect what we believe about our King, his power, and his protection. And when there's a healthy fear, and I don't think there's one of us that doesn't want this, that there will be a power that flows through our life. The power to be free, the power to heal others. It's just a worthy question to always be asking ourselves, Lord, will you make me a healing influence in the people around me? You came to set at liberty the captives, to bind up the brokenhearted. There are so many brokenhearted people. There are so many people who are hurting. Use me as a salty influence in their lives and clean out the closets, whatever it takes, Lord. I just want to walk in light. I want to declare the truth. I want to live under truth. I want to have a healthy reverence and fear of who you are. And I want to be used, a man used of God.
We've received some excellent teaching today, and I am very grateful for them. Thank you, Brother Justin, for leading us in those thoughts. He started out his sermon by saying something to the effect of, do we recognize that Jesus has no existential threat? And when he said that, I thought, wait a minute, is that really what you're asserting? Are you asserting that there is no threat to Jesus' reign? Now, what he meant was, there's no real threat in the sense of having a chance of succeeding in overthrowing Christ. His victory is certain. Almost none of us here are old enough to remember World War II, but probably all of us have studied it in school. Remember, there was an event called D-Day, and the beaches of Normandy were stormed by the Allied forces. Germany, up until that point, seemed to be on this steady march across Europe. France had fallen. England was looking like it was certain to fall. Eventually, the United States joined in the effort. But on that fateful day, when the beaches were stormed at Normandy and a beachhead was established, anyone with any kind of wise analysis looking on could have said, the war's over. For all practical purposes, Germany didn't stand a chance. There was no hope. But does that mean that people quit dying? No. Some of the worst and bloodiest battles, some of the greatest loss of life happened after that. But in one sense, it was over. There was no more threat from Germany. Oh, terrible loss of life and much effort had to continue in order for Germany to finally be brought to surrender. But that's what we're called to today. Back in Leo, we just finished a long walk through the book of Matthew. And Jesus there in chapter 28 says, all power has been given unto me in heaven and in earth. That's what he told the disciples after he came back from the grave. Is that what it looks like around us? All power in heaven and in earth has been given to Jesus? It doesn't look like that in the news, does it? Does ISIS know about this? But Jesus has no existential threat. Meaning, there's no hope of success in rebelling against him. His kingdom will come. But some of the bloodiest battles still ahead. That's our call. That's our call to be faithful. I think we all know these things to be true, but how wonderful they are to remind ourselves of them. Please be encouraged. Would a brother choose a hymn we could sing together?
Oh, the shepherd. We'd ask a brother to close the afternoon in prayer.
Father, we come before Thee and thank Thee for the time we've had today to learn in the Word. We thank Thee for preserving this Word throughout history for us so that we could read and understand. And we thank Thee for the ministers that stand before us to help share the Word. And thank Thee for, most of all, for sending Jesus here upon the earth to live as an example for us and then to provide teaching and to pay the ultimate sacrifice to die on the cross for our sins. And we pray that many could take advantage of that great plan of salvation and be able to be reconciled and be in heaven someday. And we pray that we can all do our part to be examples and pray that everyone can take advantage of that. And we thank Thee for, again, all Thou hast provided today and ask that Thou continue to provide and go with us throughout the day. In Jesus' name, amen.